It's always good to have someone to put the blame off on, isn't it, Brother Pete? I've had dreams or nightmares at different times through the years. I've been before a group of people and hadn't prepared anything. Or I didn't put on all my clothes. And I'm sure glad that I woke up when it did, you know. I want to talk for just a short while. We might call this an impromptu speech from Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus, during his personal ministry, had stated in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the great invitation. And implied is the fact that man is away, separated from God. Isaiah 59, verse 2, your sins have separated between you and God. So man is alienated. There's a barrier between God and man. But Jesus came and bridged that chasm by sacrifice at Calvary, Golgotha. Ascended to heaven and offered his life before God as the atonement of our sins. So the Lord can now say, come. The Spirit and the bride, Spirit through the revelation that's in the Scriptures, and the bride, the church of the Lord, by offering that invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. I was reading a book several years ago, and this always stayed with me. It's in the form of an acrostic, the word come. And the author of that, I don't know, remember who it was, may have been anonymous, but used this word come as an acrostic. He said, children are to come. Well, obvious that would be those who've reached the age of accountability. Not infants, not those who can't reason, or those who can't understand, but children who've gotten to the place where they know that they've sinned against God and there's something to do. Then he said older people. And we never get too old to obey. Now the longer we postpone and procrastinate, our heart might become hardened, that it doesn't have any appeal to us. But I've seen men and women way up in years obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was down in eastern Kentucky a long time ago, and an elderly gentleman who was in a chair, he couldn't walk. He said he wanted to be baptized. And we carried him down to a little branch, a stream there in front of the house, and immersed him. Well, here's an older person. So come all ye that are older. And letter M, middle age. Come unto me, you who are middle aged. And we're in the span here, in a limit, age limit, where we can have a lot of influence on our children. A lot of parents have regretted that they postponed obeying the gospel, or they were unfaithful to the Lord. And through those critical years when the children were growing up in home, they weren't faithful to God. And they've shed a lot of tears because of that. And then this word here, our letter here, everyone. I don't care who it is. God says you're invited to the feast. And so here's the universality of it. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is the thirst come. Well, a person's got to want to come. And in this word come, brethren, is the possibility. Man is away, it implies that, but he can come. And who can come? Anybody. I remember Jim Cope years ago talking about his grandmother, I think it was, down in the hills of eastern Tennessee. And his grandmother had been influenced by Calvinists, believed in predestination. I grew up in among those people down in eastern Kentucky. And you were foreordained or predestinated by God back down in eternity to either be saved or lost. And you just had to wait for God to act, and not anything you can do yourself. And so there's something unusual would happen to you to indicate that God had called you. And so this dear old soul, Brother Cope said, believed that man was individually predestinated to heaven and hell, and a gospel preacher came through there, and she happened to hear him preach the invitation, the universality of the gospel, and that was most encouraging to her. Jesus in the Great Commission said, go preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth, anybody that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. Well, let him that's athirst come. That reminds me what Jesus said, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. That blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The word righteousness means to be right with God. And a person who has this intense craving to be right with Jehovah, he shall find it, he shall obtain it. The only one's going to obey is the one who wants to. Sometimes we come back from a gospel meeting and be asked how many obeyed the gospel, and I might say all those who wanted to. Baptized every person that came to the meeting that wanted to be baptized. And that's so, friends. You baptize those who have a desire to become children of God. Until we get to that stage, I don't care how much preaching is going to be done, we're not going to respond. So let him that thirst come, and whosoever will. Well, the word will means that man has volition. I can accept it or reject it. As Peter said on Pentecost, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And so the will of man enters into the picture. God holds forth the incentives, and we've got to act. The Lord says, I'll forgive you, I'll save you, I'll purify your soul, I'll reconcile you, but man must act, he must respond. So whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now that doesn't mean, brethren, that being a Christian doesn't cost you anything. It does cost you everything. But the word freely here, if I understand it correctly, means I don't earn it. It's not a meritorious act. God offers it to us, like in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. No, I can't earn it. If I did, I'd have to be a perfect individual, never violating the law of God any place, anywhere, conforming to his will. And then I can say, Lord, you owe me salvation because I haven't violated, transgressed your law. I'm not a sinner. I don't need your grace. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and so we take of the water of life freely. Jesus said to the woman at Jacob's well, drink of the water I give you, you shall never thirst. We had a few years ago, we had an Arab guide, and they have Ramadan, the Muslims do, a whole month of it where they fast. They don't eat or drink a thing, the conscientious ones, from daylight to dark. Then after the sun goes down, then they make up for what they lost. But we were going by Jacob's well. And this guide, he was talking about the water and what Jesus said in John 4. And Harry Brassad, he was a preacher over here in New Jersey. Harry is an Indian, that is from the nation of India, years ago. And Harry said to the guide, he said, what did Jesus mean by the water of life? Well, he had him right where he wanted him, you know. That guide said, well, I don't know. He knew what it meant. And this woman, she caught on to it. She might have thought it was physical water to start with, but she caught on to it later. And we can catch on to it. Well, that's my sermonette. My impromptu sermonette tonight. And I fulfilled the request of Brother Dallas. Oh, he was just jokingly, I think. While ago, maybe Weldon could have a little sermonette tonight. Well, looks like I had one. But this is a great passage, brethren, friends here in Revelation 22, with verse 17. It brings us hope because there is salvation. And all I've got to do is lay hold. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. It's offered by God. And we need to accept. If you're in the audience tonight, you're not a Christian, you're unsaved. As we sing this song, we want you to come and obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever your needs are, the Lord will provide. Whether you are an alien or whether you're an erring child of his, his grace will cover. Tonight, will you come while together we stand? While we stand.